Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, it's Tall Live. It's John Gibbons hosting this week. I'm joined by Phil Blundell, by Dan Morgan, and by Kieran Molyneux. We're here to look ahead, obviously, to Liverpool v Arsenal. But a few things there before that. In part one, we're going to talk about the international breaks, assessing the damage, if that is the case there for Liverpool, but also the reaction of some of our players as well as others, and a reminder sort of what international football does mean outside of our little Liverpool bubble. We've also got a couple of inserts. We've got Forbes Duff, which I did half an hour ago. So it's very fresh indeed. He's from Red Neighbours, talking about the LFC Operation Christmas Magic. And Football with Ben, which is an Instagram account. Young Ben came in and had a chat with me about his Instagram page and what he's doing there, go around the grounds and doing some lives around football. So that is all to come. But then obviously we're going to be previewing that massive game on Saturday at 5:30 against Arsenal. But I'll start with you, Keo. It's always a tense time, isn't it? Internationals, you every twinge gets analysed, every little knock suddenly all over Twitter. He's gone off, he's broke his leg and all this, and it's just a bit of a time where you just, I know, you seem to be fingers crossed and seemingly knowing who's playing at 2 a.m. and where and how they're getting on.
Well, that's it, and you mentioned there what it means to the rest of the country compared to the Liverpool fans, or maybe the rest of the world, but it just becomes an exercise in watching who's injured for us and making sure nobody comes back with an injury that's too bad. Like I say, I mean, someone sent me a link to the game Mane was playing. I just seen the pitch and was like, oh, no. You know what I mean? I was like, he did end up going off in the end. So, yeah, it is. I mean, I'm a bit hypocritical with it because when the World Cup comes around and the Euros come around and 2 international football, 3 games a day and all that, I'm like, that, yes, this is great. Yeah. But international breaks and qualifiers, it's just, but no time whatsoever, because it usually means that there's a Liverpool player coming back injured.
Yeah, there was a few to keep social media lively, Phil. A few sorts of happening. There was an Andy Robertson twinge. There was the Mane one that Kieran sort of talked about there. Jordan Henderson getting sent home early, but it seems like nothing sort of too bad anyway. The Henderson one felt a little bit sort of blagged to me in that he released 5, and I thought, well, it can't be 5 of them injured. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Mane was back training and smiling and things like that. It's only really the Andy Robertson one that feels like it might be something, and even that, he's still sort of touch and go for Arsenal.
Yeah, we've gone full circle on Robertson, really, haven't we? Because if you go back sort of 18 months, 2 years, if he'd have come back and he'd have been the one who was injured, you'd have been in serious trouble about what you were thinking about, who was playing left back at the weekend. But now it's not. He's almost the least of the problems with when you look at the cover. I mean, obviously, I don't want him to be injured, and I'd happily have him playing. But it's sort of it's not as dangerous as it felt. Like
he has the closest like cover, yeah, probably, arguably in the squad now. Maybe Firmino for Jota.
Yeah, that's basically what I mean. I mean, to be honest, I don't think Mane was injured at all. You know, I think it was a convenient one, so because he'd already qualified, hadn't he? And he plays 20 minutes the first game and then doesn't play the second game. And it's like, you know, is that just his way of going? I didn't want to play, but I had to, and this is my way out. And everyone's happy because, you know, Senegal don't care, they're going to the next stage of the qualification. And he's home having his feet up and he's ready to go for Saturday.
Going to be some lively African Cup knockout games, by the way, Phil.
What we want is Egypt-Algeria again. It happened about 10 years ago, and I think it was like a war on the pitch because they absolutely hate each other. So we can get that again. It's great.
Love a mad rivalry I didn't know about. Love a mad rivalry I didn't know about. There we are. Egypt-Algeria. We'll go, Phil.
I'm all in. Get in.
Dan, me and Kieran were talking a little bit there about, you know, the Liverpool thing versus the rest of the country, but also obviously the rest of the world. But also, you know, the players feel differently about it to what we do, and we need to accept that and not just accept it, but sort of embrace it in a way. You know, I shared a tweet round to you guys before in the agenda about Virgil van Dijk, where he's overjoyed with the qualification. It'll be his first big tournament if he's fit. He's either missed out before or Holland have. You know, it's a World Cup. You know, it's what, you know, kids dream of. You know, sort of playing in it's you know, a marker that professional football set themselves, and he's got there really. And there's quite a few images over the last week or so. You know, that's them Serbian celebrations were absolutely unreal. Yeah, it helps that Ronaldo's on the floor crying. Don't get me wrong. You know what I mean? I'm not made of stone. But, you know, with those Serbian boys just absolutely, you know, going mad and stuff. And, you know, it is, I don't know, almost a pure football in a lot of sense, really. And it is a reminder that, yeah, just because it's not a big deal for you, it doesn't mean that that's the case for everyone.
Good that the Serbia stuff was good, though, wasn't it? When they were just like, that was the most excited I think I've ever seen a football team. I don't think I've ever seen that many people in the corner celebrating a goal of you. It looked like there was 60 of them. Like every single Serb in Portugal was in the corner of that ground. And you do forget at times that, all right, we're not sort of emotionally involved, but to a lot of countries, this is the best way of showcasing their country on a stage like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And for Virgil, Phil, you know, it's obviously sort of a huge moment for him. When you think about everything he's won, but internationally, you know, it's you know, no big moments yet. And he obviously feels like this could be one for him, you know, fitness allowing.
I mean, if you actually look at the teams who've got a chance of winning this World Cup, I think there probably aren't 10, and Holland's one of them. He's the captain. So there's a serious chance that in, 13 months' time, Virgil van Dijk's running around Qatar with the World Cup. And a World Cup winner's medal. It's why wouldn't you be excited if you were him? It's something you have to be all in on. And footballers can talk about this, that, and the other, but the World Cup probably does matter to them as much as anything, I would say.
Yeah, no, I think they have got a good chance. I remember watching the Euros and thinking, you know, watching Holland thinking off the upgrade of Van Dijk here, they'd be great.
Got a manager who can actually probably do something as well this time, because I think the upgrade from De Boer to Van Gaal is probably going to be quite good for them as well.
We shall see. Have we got Daniel? Are you still struggling? No, never mind. If only we could have sound checked before. Kieran, in terms of, you know, as you say, looking at what it means to the players, you know, Andy Robertson sort of summarizes that more than anyone, really, doesn't he? In terms of, you know, you can see when he's played for Scotland, sort of what it means to him, really. And, you know, it might have cost him, you know, this game. But I think, you know, supporting these lads through that, they sort of remember it, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all, when we're watching tournaments, I mentioned before about being a big fan of, you know, international tournaments. And I'm usually looking for Liverpool players and looking and rooting for them. Do you know what I mean? And not only that as well, I think we want to see the best players on the international stage when we are watching these tournaments. And I think the world of football wants to see Van Dijk playing against the best strikers in the world and stuff like that. So not only does it mean a lot for the actual players and what it can do for the, you know, the club careers, it's good all around for people who are watching international football, because it can come under fire, can't it? But when the best players are playing in them games and you've got tasty fixtures, like Phil was saying before, I'd be full of stars to the players that won some bad exam game with the best players in the world.
Yeah. In terms of the time then, the three Premier League clubs have used this time to get new managers in, Phil, which is an interesting one. There's one in particular, Gerrard to Aston Villa, which is, you know, particular interest. But our manager, how do you think they'll have used the time? Because, you know, there was an interesting article from Paul Gorst in The Echo, which had encouraged people to read, talking about the international break. And, you know, it's a bit of an update on who's gone where and how they've sort of got on and things like that. But also talks about how Jürgen Klopp's likely to use the time and on the training pitch. And, you know, there's some players who haven't been away who you think the time might be useful for, the likes of Thiago, the likes of Matip, you know, getting them, you know, as willing to go as possible, sort of, you know, in this game, you know, players like Chamberlain as well who aren't involved. But also it talks about the younger players as well and the opportunities that they get to train with, you know, first team players and obviously the opportunity for the likes of Jürgen to have a bit more of a look at them. And it all helps the fact that they're all under one roof now with the AXA.
Yeah, you'd think he's having a little bit of a recharge with batteries, isn't it? Because it's, what is it?
Yeah.
It's going to be 4 months until he can have a, is it 3 months or 4 months? It's probably three, isn't it? Until, well, it's only the end of January because there's a mad international break at the end of January now, isn't there? So he has only got 2 months, but it gives him a chance to have a little bit of a break because he's going to be going. It's the schedule, particularly if we get through in the next round of the League Cup, is brutal, effectively, until the end of January now, isn't it? So he's probably also having a look at what went wrong against Brighton and West Ham as well and trying to figure out if there's anything that he feels he got wrong that contributed towards that and looking at fixing that and just coming up with new things and plans and probably, as mad as it sounds, picking the next 7 or 8 teams because...
Yeah, possibly.
If you can be organised like that, it knows exactly how you need to sort of have the players day in, day out preparation. If they need a particular day off, they need to do a particular type of session and so on and so forth. I think there's the problem. It was a good time for him, I think, because it was when you actually go back and look at the games we played over that last period, there was a lot of hard games. So playing Atletico Madrid twice, playing Manchester United, playing West Ham, who are a good side, playing Brighton, who are a side you can do the things to us that we probably don't like doing. It was hard, and now he's had the chance to sort of regroup, gather himself, go again, and look, because this is the next 6 weeks, I think, is vital for the entire season. If we go well the next 6 weeks, we'll be in position in May.
No, absolutely. Dan, you're getting called handsome in the comments, but can we hear you?
I hope so, mate. Hey! I hope so. Hey.
Say whatever you like about anything we've talked about, mate. You probably got notes. Desperate to jump in. Phil's chatting shite. Tell him.
Forget about our luck. I can't operate the sound on this, so I'm not up to much regardless. I think in general, yeah, a few things there. Obviously, the lads have done a lot of heavy lifting in the early part of the show. I think in terms of the point about players going away at certain times, I think is really important because we often look at it as a negative and we often think, you know, at a result like West Ham, we want to get back on the pitch straight away. I think sometimes, you know, the ability for Virgil, for example, to go away and have that experience means probably comes back in a better mindset. Instead of just rolling into a next game and you can have the mindset that you might have wanted to go and put it right, but you can come back into Kirby a little bit fresh, and I think a few of them might do the same after that West Ham result. It gives the management and the coaches a chance to look at the tapes properly and maybe implement a couple of other bits in training, which again we don't hear of. And I think it'll be really interesting reaction from Liverpool. I think in terms of, you know, injuries and just where the squad's at in general, I think if there's one they'll be really disappointed about, I think it'll be one that isn't from the international break. I think it'll be Curtis. I think they either really wanted him over the next few weeks for games like Porto and AC Milan, and for something so innocuous as an eye injury that seems like a really weird one, which I think they even referenced it as being, I think that's one that'll just be a bit of a blow to them. And he's a player you would want to run for certain games, I think, in this next block. So it'll be about getting a little bit of luck, I think, with making sure no one else ends up injured in whatever circumstance, really. But I think we need a bit of Thiago coming to the fore and getting a bit of rhythm, I think, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, look at it. You know, we talked a little bit about this next group of games, Kieran. You know, Dan sort of mentioned it there. Phil's talked about it, you know, sort of planning for it. You know, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves too much. You know, we'll talk about the Arsenal game in a minute. And that's, you know, the focus, you know, for the players and I guess for us supporters as well. But they'll know that it's a big period, you know, in terms of the management, Jürgen and his team. They're a big period coming up, which, as Phil says, sort of defines whether you're there or thereabouts in May or not. You know, you can't lose. You know, so you can't win a league before Christmas, but you can certainly lose one. We just need to make sure that we're sort of handily placed as well as possible in January. And, you know, to be fair, we normally go well this period. You know, December's been good for us, and you hopefully this will be the same. We'll have a break. We're having a few technical issues, so we'll have a little break there. Coming up, as I say, we'll talk a little bit about Arsenal, we're looking ahead to the Arsenal game, and we've got the inserts now, which if you listen on a podcast, all you will hear. We've got Forbes stuff on the LFC Operation Christmas Magic, and also Football with Ben. So enjoy that. We'll be back to look ahead to Arsenal. And it is John Gibbons, and I'm now joined by Forbes Duff from Red Neighbours to talk to us about LFC Operation Christmas Magic. So, Forbes, welcome back to the Anfield Wrap.
Oh, thanks, John. Thanks for having me on. It's great to speak to you today.
Yeah, I mean, and it's nice to speak to you today, especially on the announcement from the club this morning. So, busy day for Liverpool announcing the club's biggest ever community Christmas support. A few headline figures here, and you can take us sort of through them. But over 1,000 food hampers for local families, over 12,000 toys donated for kids, over 500 residents invited for Christmas dinner, and over 1,000 free meals delivered to homes. You're going to be busy, mate.
Yeah, definitely. I think December is going to be one of our busiest months in the football calendar, not just obviously on the pitch, but off the pitch.
I was going to say,
well,
there's nine games as well.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's. I think it works out where every 2 days we've got an event or an activity happening, which is brilliant. I think COVID's hit us all hard, and I think we've all struggled during COVID. Obviously, it hasn't gone and we're still getting through it, but I think the club's putting on a fantastic events across the month of December. And yeah, we're absolutely delighted to be able to announce all the different activities we're doing across the football club, across Red Neighbours, and of course with the LFC Foundation as well. So some great things going on, and I really hope that we can make people's Christmas and really support the community as best we can across Liverpool.
Yeah, there's a few different sorts of areas that your activity sort of falls under. Child poverty, which I know you're teaming up with Radio City's Cash for Kids, which is an amazing sort of scheme and organisation that's been going on in the area for a while now, and their mission Christmas, you know, in terms of donating, you know, these are children who simply wouldn't get a present, Forbes, that's right, isn't it, if it wasn't for this scheme.
Yeah, so the stats tell us that 1 in 3 children across the Liverpool City region live in poverty. If you think about the city, we're a 500,000 capacity, so you're looking at around about 140,000 to 160,000 children who live in poverty, and one of those stats are frightening. And I think that as a football club and as a city, we've got responsibility to try and make every child's Christmas magical, and that's why we've teamed up with Cash for Kids and their Mission Christmas, and we'll be doing all we can to support them by raising awareness. We're doing fundraising, we're donating toys, we're donating gifts, and as the months get into December, as we carry on, we're looking to do a few more extra special events as part of Mission Christmas, and yeah, they'll be announced, but ultimately it's about trying to make sure that any child or children that won't be getting a gift on Christmas, that we can do all we can to support that and support Mission Christmas. I think they're looking at trying to get around about 30 to 40,000 toys, which is a phenomenal amount. And yeah, we're getting behind it to try and support, and we'd encourage everyone who can to give if they possibly can.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a donation link online. We'll tweet that out, which is through the Radio City Cash for Kids given page, but specific page for the Liverpool connection. But we will send that out, and people, you know, inside or outside the area, wherever you are in the world, can make a kind of cash donation towards that. In terms of directly regarding sort of food poverty, Forbes, I know there's work done there. You've supported St Andrews Community Network, which is the home of North Liverpool Food Bank, for quite a while now. Obviously, that's an ongoing sort of relationship, but sort of ramping that up around Christmas and making sure that people have got food at this time.
Yeah, 100%. So we all know that Christmas can be a difficult time, and food is just one element of that. So we've had a great relationship with St Andrews Community Network and the North Liverpool Food Bank, and especially with the fan support and food bank team, and we're really going to be pushing up December's donations. We've got some massive games on the calendar, as you know, with the Merseyside Derby at Goodison at the start of the month, and then we've obviously got Steven Gerrard's return on the 11th of December, and then, you know, we've got a couple of Wednesday night games and the Carabao Cup, and then we've got a Boxing Day game as well. So across all those games, we'll be pushing out messages and support, trying to encourage fans coming to Anfield to try and bring some food items. And if you can't make it to the game, or, you know, it's maybe not part of your match day routine, then there is a text to donate that you can do to donate £5, which would then allow St Andrews to go out and buy the essential foods that are needed this Christmas time. So yeah, we're a big advocate of of supporting food poverty in the city, and that will continue to do so, especially across December.
Yeah, that text link, if you want to donate it, you text Food Bank FC. So it's Food Bank FC, all one word, to 70460. And that donates £5, as Forbes says, directly from your account to them. Or you can also go to standrewslive.org.uk/donate if you prefer to donate in that way. The Christmas dinners sounds like good fun. I don't know if you're dressing up as Santa, mate, or what's sort of going on, but it's in the Boot Room Cafe, which is a lovely space within the COP, and you know there's entertainment going on and things like that. And I think it's 500 local residents is the aim to sort of get a bit of turkey too.
Yeah, that's the one. So we haven't been able to do the Christmas lunches for the last couple of years, obviously with lockdowns and with COVID being with us. So yeah, we're absolutely delighted. So we're looking at the first week of December. The 6th of December onwards, we'll be inviting roughly 130 guests per day for the whole week to come to Anfield for a free Christmas dinner. And we'll be doing all the trimmings with some gifts, and we're hopefully having a couple of local school choirs come along to sing a few festive carols, which is brilliant. And really just try and put a smile on everyone's face and really try and start people to encourage what Christmas is all about, spending quality time together as friends and family, and really to give a little bit of back to those residents in the area, and then also through our programmes, through our Red Neighbours programme as well. So yeah, really looking forward to it. It's going to be a crazy week, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to welcoming people back to Anfield.
Yeah, and I know there's food hampers, over 1,000 actually food hampers going on to people who maybe can't get in, or maybe sort of, you know, can't get to sort of Anfield for whatever reason. There's those food hampers going out as well.
There is, yes. So between Red Neighbours and the LFC Foundation, we've got Christmas food hampers going out across Anfield and Kirby, and out to different community groups and across the city for those that we work with that maybe could be people living on their own, or could be still shielding or isolating or having a tough time. So between the Christmas lunches and the hampers, we're hoping to cover a good network of people that we know through our programs and through our networks, really. And we're hooking up with local community groups and different organizations to try and support where we can. So lots of food opportunities going out across December. And then that also carries on with our donated meals every week. So every Thursday, since lockdown started, believe it or not, 2 years ago, nearly be 3 years, we've been doing 1,000 meals a week that we've been giving out to different community groups, local schools, local churches, different charities. So that will be carrying on throughout the month of December. And roughly, we're around about 124,000 meals that we've donated since the pandemic started back in April 19.
Yeah, which is absolutely incredible. A couple of other things I want to mention quickly. There's a carol service at Anfield, which I'm sure will be great fun. And then this, the LFC Foundation Winter Wonderland, a family event, which is completely free in Norris Green with sort of loads going on, and a fantastic place for families to come and feel a bit Christmassy.
Exactly, yeah. So the Winter Wonderland is there to sign up online. Obviously, it's a register, but yeah, a great opportunity for families to get together. Fun games, there's a reindeer workshop, different arts and crafts. Basically trying to bring a little bit of magic festive activities for those that are interested. And then the Club Carol service, last year it was online. We had to pre-record a lot of things, which is still fantastic. But this time, once again, we're hoping to welcome people back to Anfield, and there'll be more information about that as it comes out. But yeah, two great events that people can get involved in, which we're looking forward to.
Yeah, if you want to attend or want to register yourself and your family for the Winter Wonderland, there's a web address, which is foundation.liverpoolfc.com/goplay. That is foundation.liverpoolfc.com/goplay. Any of these you're unsure of or I've read wrong, just message me and I'll send it to you. That's always the sort of the way. And then just finally, the Older Hay tradition has been going on, well, longer than I can remember, to be honest with you, Forbes. Virtual again this year, which is a little bit of a shame. Those of us who love shedding a bit of a tear at the club players and legends, you know, meeting these kids, you know, it's a shame that can't quite happen, but understandable. You know, we are still in a pandemic after all, and you know, both the players and obviously, you know, the children themselves, we need to be sort of, you know, very careful with, but it's nice that this tradition does get to continue in some way.
Yeah, definitely. I think the players and staff would love to go into Alder Hey and spend time with the families and the children. And let's be honest, no one wants to be in hospital at any time. And I think that the players would love to be in there to spend some quality time with them and try and put a smile on their face. It can't happen. So virtually they're doing that again. So there'll be gifts and presents sent in advance, all in guidance with Alder Hay and their COVID policies. And then, yeah, they'll be doing some online Zoom calls with different wards on there. So, yeah, all part of the bigger Christmas package. But it's great that we're able to return to Anfield in person and do activities and then try and really support the city through different activities for Mission Christmas and fan support and food banks and support on Alder Hay. And I think as a football club, we really want to try and give back this year and really build on it and really try and make as many people's Christmas magical as possible.
Absolutely, absolutely. We've gone through a lot of information there. If you sort of want a bit of a recap on any of it or you want to sort of find out more, social media probably the best place. If you go to at LFC Foundation on Twitter, at LFC Foundation on Twitter, there's lots of links to Christmas magic and things going on. And I presume as well Forbes updates over the next couple of weeks on there as well as things progress further.
Yeah, that's right. So you've got the Twitter accounts of the LFC Foundation and also Red Neighbours, where we'll be posting different announcements and different campaigns. So feel free to get involved if you want to share them, retweet them. If you want to get involved in any way or help support, then if you go to the Google and type LFC Foundation, contact us page, drop an email to us and one of the team will get back to you and then we'll be able to pick up conversations. But I'd just like to encourage every fan and every listener, if there's any way you can get involved in anything this Christmas, either through the club directly or maybe with your own charity that you support or your own community group, then let's try and do as much as we can this Christmas to help those in need. I think that's a great message to push out.
Yeah, someone from the club messaged just before about serving Christmas dinners, which doesn't feel like a great idea to me, Forbes, to be honest with you, with our lot. Never mind, but we shall see. I'm sure we'll look to support it in some ways. But for the meantime, thanks so much for coming on today and letting everyone know about all this amazing stuff that the club are doing in December.
No, thanks, John. And thanks for the team that all you do and the messages you push out and supporting the campaign. So thanks again.
It's John Gibbons for the Anfield Wrap with a Beer 52 inserter. This is an advert courtesy of Beer 52, who've supported us for a while now, and now they've got a lovely Christmas present for you. Normally, it is 8 free beers, so 8 free beers when you sign up with Beer 52. But because the festive season is upon us, it is 10 free beers that is available to you, Anfield Wrap listeners. If you go to the website beer52.com/wrap and cover the £5.95 postage to claim your free case. If you, as you say, if you do it before the 17th of December, you get 2 extra free beers. Beer 52 is a beer club like no other. They send experts around the globe to find the best beer available anywhere. And each month, their members, which includes Mr. Neil Atkinson, and he brings some in, each of their members receive a new case, usually from a different part of the world. Members of our beer, it says here, from more than 40 countries and across 5 continents. There you go. So if you're adventurous with your drinking, or you know, you just get a bit sick and tired of the same stuff and you want to sort of branch out, I would recommend Beer 52. There's always something in there that's interesting and for every taste as well. You can impress friends, family and dinner guests, it says here, with a cast of hoppy IPAs, crisp craft lagers and sumptuous stouts. But if dark beer is not for you, you can simply choose the light option. As well as the delicious beer, you'll receive Ferment magazine, which delves into the beers, breweries and theme, and you also get 2 delicious snacks to wash down the beer with. So what's not to love? After redeeming your first case, you basically get put on a monthly beer club, which is £24 a month, but there's no minimum commitment, so you can pause or cancel at any time. But like I say, plenty of people we know have stuck with it. They love getting the beers through the post every month, and they love, you know, sampling the different things and being sent around the world from your own home by Beer 52. So that website again is www.beer52.com/wrap. Enjoy those 10 free beers for Christmas. It's John Gibbons for Tour Live. I'm delighted to be joined in our studio by a very special guest. He has interviewed me, so I am throwing the pleasure right back at him. It is Football with Ben. Ben, thanks so much for coming in.
Hello.
So tell us a little bit more about yourself, Ben, if you don't mind.
So it was a couple of months, well, I think it was actually last year. Now I started Football with Ben, and it was because my mum always went on at me saying that I'd always be good at it, and it was my uncle as well. They was also saying it, and because I knew loads about football, and I used to always, I knew all players, and my mum just thought I'd be really good at it. So it was actually when we were going on the way to school that I thought of doing it. And then when I got home from school, it was on the Friday, I actually done my first video, and it was actually quite good. It started off a few people watching the video, and then now I think it's up to 226 views. Brilliant. I looked this morning, and it was actually quite good that it's now got up to that.
So it's growing all the time. So you're 13, aren't you, Ben?
Yeah.
Well, I'm 39, and let me tell you, you still do things that your mum nags you to do. That is still a thing at my age. But you must be pleased now that your mum and your uncle give you a bit of a push to do it, because sometimes we all need a bit of a push, don't we, to try something. But now it's growing, which is great. And presumably you're enjoying doing it as well.
Yeah, it's been really good. And like I also go round all the stadiums. I've done... I think about 12 now, and it's really good going to all them, and it's the experience going to see all the, like, because you actually see all the fans. And when I went to, I think it was Swansea over the summer, they were really nice and welcoming, and they even gave me some old team sheets. Wow. That they had, and it was they were actually really nice. And Newcastle, when we went in their shop, because my mum was telling me to, we've got a lanyard for me now, and I've put on all the badges from each team shop. So when we went in Newcastle shop, they were really nice in there, I like the stadium a lot because it's huge.
Yeah, and it's right in the city, yeah, as well, isn't it? And so it sort of even looks even bigger.
Yeah, and they might even make it bigger with the new owners. Mm.
So I know the football tours, your tours of the football grounds are one of the most popular videos that you do, aren't you? But what else does well for you? Because I know you do previews, and then you do the watch-alongs and stuff like that. Yeah. What else do people like?
One thing that I did actually start towards the end of last year, when I got home from school, I used to always do a little video talking about... like the transfers and games going on for a specific team, and I kind of done that as a mini series on there, and it was actually pretty good then, and I was thinking of actually starting that back up again, because I actually really enjoyed that a lot, but a lot of people did actually watch it, and I done just this season, I haven't done a lot of watch-alongs in the game. I've done one video this year because of all other things going on. On BBC where they do the final score.
Yeah.
I've done one of those, and it was actually pretty exciting because I usually only focus on the Premier League, and I got the Scottish leagues in. And the Championship, League One and League Two, and it was actually exciting because it was intense of how getting to the end of the game, and then there was late winning goals going in, and a lot of people did actually watch that as well.
Brilliant. So what's the future then for football with Ben? Have you got your plans set on what you would like to do next?
My mum is... it's always my mum who's going on at me to do things, trying to get new things in it. And she told me about doing a little mini-series on grassroots football, because on a Friday I go to Don't Cross the Line, and they always talk about respect, and it's actually it's pretty good going there. And but my granddad, he started up his team quite some time ago, and my mum was actually in one of the first girls team, and I didn't know of how many trophies my mum's actually got. She always goes on how she's got loads in the loft, and she'll have to show me one day. But my mum had told me to interview him in this in the series, and like me cousins have all played football, and one of my cousins is now a manager of a team, I think Portsmouth, Portland, yeah, I always get mixed up with Portsmouth, and, yeah, Portland, and he's actually been interviewed a couple of weeks ago, and it was, and they've all played football, which is really good.
Brilliant. So you've been in to see us this morning, then you've just watched the Talking Reds live and seeing the studio, you know, maybe getting a few ideas for future things you can steal from us.
Yeah. I was thinking of starting a podcast that it was actually my idea, that one. And we were actually going to look into that and like starting YouTube up as well, because I'm only mainly on Instagram now, and but starting to do other social media platforms, and but it'd be actually quite good to do a podcast to like have a good show.
Yeah, well, good luck with it all, mate. Thanks so much for coming in to see us. World domination on the future. We're not going to be here in 2 years' time. Ben will have taken over, but that's fine. As long as you give me a job, mate, that is fine. But thanks so much for coming in. So people want to find you, it's just Football with Ben on Instagram, isn't it? That's the best place of getting you.
Yeah.
Top man. Thanks so much for coming in, and I hope everyone's enjoyed that. And we're back. I think we're back. It's John Gibbons. I'm still joined by Kieran Molyneux, by Phil Blundell, and by Dan Morgan. And to look ahead to Liverpool v Arsenal. And Hannah Snell has been on. Hannah says, why has nobody mentioned Arsenal's threat from set pieces? It's because we haven't talked about Arsenal yet. Get off our bell back. But Phil, talk about Arsenal's threat from set pieces. Make Hannah's happy.
They didn't score in the last game from set piece because they beat Watford 1-0, didn't they? And that was Smith Rowe from outside the box. So that's not quite right, I don't think. But yeah, they score. I think Gabriel scored one at Leicester, didn't he? And that you do that in the first 10 minutes away at Leicester, it's a huge help. Like set pieces, it was. I think it was. If you look at the difference between us in 19-20, and then the catastrophe that was last season, we scored a lot of goals from set pieces in 19-20. Like Van Dijk probably wins us games just by scoring early doors, and it gets you in a position where you can sort of, without playing well, you can score a goal, because all you need to do is the ball go out of play somewhere vaguely near their goal. You put a good ball in, and we've got some of the best delivery around in Trent and Robertson and whatever. You can make an edge just by, without playing well, and that's something that Arsenal need to look to do, because I always think that when Anfield's sort of where Arsenal come to die, I think, isn't it? When you look at the sort of the last 5 to 10 years, like the 5-1 in 2014, beaten 4-0 when Salah had just signed. There was a 5-1 a couple of years ago, and it feels like there's a lot of talk about have Arsenal come back from the dead. I'm not going to believe it until I see them come to Anfield and do something, because it's like where it must be a psychological thing around the neck that they need to get over.
Yeah, 2014, I think they were top of the league. They definitely had the best defensive record in the league when they came to Anfield and were 4-0 down within 19 minutes. What a lovely, lovely day that was. You expected a day just as nice, Dan, or do you think it'll be a bit tougher?
I think it could cut loose. I think I really
That's
do.
That's what I want to hear. 5-0 up in 19.
Yeah, let's do it. I think it's such an unpredictable fixture, and I think Arsenal they still have a little bit of a soft underbelly. I think, you know, if you can get a couple of goals up against them quite early on, I think anything's possible. Incidentally, I think the game against them last year is one of the, you know, the forgotten great games at Anfield, and mainly because none of us were there, but Liverpool were incredible that night. It was the night that Jürgen Klopp famously kicked off on Roy Keane after the game, which totally enjoyed, because Liverpool were embodied by Sadio Mane, just men possessed. They just were... They were completely swarming all over Arsenal, and then the Arteta thing at full time in terms of how do you stop them. You know, you put a full press on against them, and Van Dijk plays it 60 yards over to Salah and they're out. So it'll be really interesting to see what Arsenal do, whether they continue with a version of two up top. I'm not overly concerned about them from set pieces. I think, like we've touched on in part one, I think Liverpool's sort of learning from the past few weeks before the international break around set pieces will be interesting to see if they implement anything differently. I think just being slightly technical for a minute, I watched the goal back of Salah's breakaway today against Arsenal in that game, his first in that game. And there's a lot of there's a lot of that you forget about Wijnaldum in terms of where he was in set pieces for Liverpool, in terms of marking that sort of front post zone. I think it has been a little bit of a problem for Liverpool, that zone, in terms of set pieces this season. Havertz is one that sticks in the mind of sort of no one,
yeah,
no one blocking it or no one doing anything about it. So maybe if there is somewhere to improve on for Liverpool, it's around sort of keeping an eye on that area and set pieces, see what they do. But yeah, I think it's one where if we're pairing, I think it's got the makings for a really good game.
Great. You excited for it, Kieran? Do you think it could be a good one for Liverpool, good opposition for us?
I'm excited for it because I want to get back to winning ways, John, to be honest. I mean, I think you touched on it before, after that West Ham game, it was the worst possible time. It always is if you lose a game to go to a break. So I'm looking forward to Liverpool trying to get back into it and find the rhythm. I agree, it has got the makings of a tasty fixture. I think they won the last four games, have they? So they're on a bit of a run.
Yeah, they won't be in an eight. They've won six and drawn two of the last eight. So they're in, good so form.
They are in good form, considering that Arsenal in recent years haven't necessarily been able to put a bit of a run together, have they? So, but yeah, I do think Liverpool have got the quality to beat them. I think we've got the point we've made there about the set pieces. I don't think necessarily it's an Arsenal thing. I think it's a thing we need to look at in general. It's a weakness that we have, and West Ham exposed it. So it's obviously something that we need to work on. But Liverpool on the day should be able to, get 4-0 up in 90 minutes again, John. Probably still the best 20 minutes of football I've ever seen from the Liverpool side. That, to be honest, it was mesmerising. I do think we'll beat them. I do think we'll get back to winning ways this weekend.
Yeah, it's starting with that intensity feels key. The last away game that they won was at Leicester. Phil and Arsenal sort of controlled the game from the off there and went sort of 2-0 up. I mean, they'll have a job doing that against Liverpool. I would argue in our quality, but it still shows that they're able to get on the front foot, quickly. And we just need to impose ourselves on this game as quickly as possible, I feel.
We did what was promised about that day from our point of view is that the goalkeeper's man of the match. So they still gave Leicester ample opportunity to get back into that game, and Ramsdale's basically bailed them out with, I think he made three or four really good saves. There was that one from the free kick, which was on telly for about a week, which was excellent. And there was one second half when he gets down really quite low and quick out to the feet, in the same style Alisson does when he sort of just runs at someone's feet as they're about to hit it, and he throws them into, just completely disorientates them, and they don't know what to do. Ramsdale did that as well. So I think there'll be chances for us. I think when I look at Brighton and West Ham, I can see what they had in them that was a problem for Liverpool, and I'm not sure. I don't look at Arsenal in the same way, to be perfectly honest.
How do you look at them, Dan, in terms of the threat that they might pose us? Because they've got some good young players. They've got some players who can run in behind, can maybe hurt us and do some similar things to I guess what Brighton were able to do, but also West Ham.
Yeah, again, it's what Mikel Arteta comes and plans to do with players like Smith Rowe, Saka, players who you could nominally say play in half spaces in attack and third areas. They could try and sit in like Brighton maybe did and then, roll that dice. But like I say, I think if Liverpool get two up in this game, I don't see the same result occurring, and might get clipped and end up with egg on my face, but it wouldn't be the first time. Been doing this long enough now to know the stuff like that can happen.
And come back.
you've got an archive from me, Phil, over the years.
He's got an archive on everyone.
I batter everyone on that, mate. Don't worry about it.
So yeah, I mean, I think it's really interesting in terms of what they want to do. I don't see a major threat in terms of a sort of last line in terms of Arsenal. Aubameyang, I think, can be managed between the centre-halves we've got. They can try and play between the space between centre-half and full-back, but I think we'll be on it. And I think we'll be on it from West Ham still, and I think we'll be on it from the players getting a bit of a break and refresh. And like I say, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to have this break at this time now. I know that's the mentality, but I think to come back, refresh from that game, get the plan in embedded over the next sort of 24 hours. I think there's definitely a way in which if we go 2-0 up in this game, I don't see them coming back in the same way that Brighton were able to.
Steve Brown's going to be talking to there, quite rightly, me talking up Arsenal and the threats, talking about set pieces, talking about, you know, why players with, and he said, team talk should be like the old Fergie Spurs one, lads, it's fucking Arsenal, they're scarred since 2013. I think there is a bit of that, Kieran, but also a bit of just us remembering how good we are, really. The West Ham game might have been a bit disappointing, you know, but, you know, they'll be looking at us and thinking quality all over the pitch. Mo Salah absolutely flying. Yeah, Firmino's out, which is a bit of a shame because he's got a great record against them. But, you know, we still got Jota and Mane. It's not a bad front three, is it? Whoever he picks in midfield, you know, there'll be sort of quality there as well. And then obviously, you know, like we said before, you know, whoever, you know, there's the left-back option's fine. Whoever he goes to, whoever he picks next to Virgil at centre-half, you'd be sort of fine with. We're in a nice position, aren't we, the Reds? And, you know, they should be more worried about us than we are of them.
Yeah, I think we've all been a little bit nice to Arsenal so far on this show. I mean, because they have put a little run of wins together and usually they're shite and they have been for a few years, you know what I mean? So inconsistent. But I think what results like that West Ham one does and that Brighton one does, it just starts to put a little bit of like, oh, no, it's not going to be one of them, is it? You know what I mean? And you do feel it, you know what I mean? When you go 2-0 up at Anfield, you end up walking away with a point. Like, that's not, yeah, the shouts, don't you know, that's not championship winning form, and that's not how you win leagues, and all them little comments start coming out. So it is good to remind yourself of the quality that we've got, John, you know what I mean? We've got Salah on the pitch, and he's in the form of his life. We've got, you know, the best goalkeeper on the planet. So there's no matter what team's told us, we've got the players there to deal with it and punish teams. We've seen it with Man United, you know what I mean? That game where it just clicked, and I know Man United were so poor, but Liverpool were fucking good on that day, like really, really good. Like, so if we can get back to that, I don't think Arsenal, as Dan said, if we all tune up in that game, I don't think we're going to see another repeat of what happened at Brighton.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. It's an interesting weekend, Phil. We've got that Leicester-Chelsea game at 12:30, which I think a lot of people will be watching. Liverpool fans, you know, from a point of view of hoping, you know, Chelsea might slip up there. Leicester have been a funny team this season, but, you know, it's still home at the King Power, and they've still got some good players. And, yeah, there's a couple of interesting 3 o'clock. So then if Liverpool win, who knows, maybe the Blues could do us a favour on Sunday as well. Rafa and the boys rock up to Man City. Could be nice Sunday night is what I'm saying, looking at the table.
It could, yeah. This is like I think Rafa Benitez has absolutely spent 2 weeks looking at that game, thinking about how he can do Pep Guardiola's heading, and I think it's the perfect situation for Benitez, where he gets 2 weeks to prepare for a game against a team where he's a massive underdog. It's like the kind of thing he thrives off, isn't it? Yeah, there's Leicester Chelsea. It's not the question that the both of them drop points this weekend. I think Manchester City will win, but I can see Leicester doing something. I think if Chelsea have a bit of an off day finishing wise, it seems to be that at the minute all they're doing is basically getting the fullbacks to score goals, and there's a question mark about how long you can do that for. And you can probably do it long enough to win a league title, but at some point it will stop. So hopefully it's this weekend, and hopefully they sort of regress, and we can make it a two-horse race, and it's just us and City. But you know, I think that's probably stretching it a bit, isn't it?
No, I think it is going to be tight for a while. I think Dan and the three teams at the top are maybe dropping points sort of here and there, but sort of all look strong, really. Yeah, I don't know how you're sort of feeling about it, you know, going into, obviously, you know, a busy period. You know, are you one who watches all the games, or are you sort of, well, wait, concentrate on ourselves and see what happens?
At this moment, yeah, I'm sort of... I'm not doing the looking at the league table too studiously, and I never do, really, until the turn of the year. I think that's maybe the last few years Tristan will be in and around it, barring last year, obviously, of course. But then again, we were top of Christmas last year, so, you know, we're always the turn of the year around where we need to be, and I think this season that's more prevalent than ever. I think of every side, I mean, you know, City, Liverpool, and Chelsea, if they're level on New Year's Day on points, that's absolutely fine. You know, that's, if Liverpool were in 2 or 3 points of whoever's top, I'd say that's absolutely fine. I'd say that this isn't going to be a season for me where, you know, someone sort of goes on the gas in terms of maybe dropping 4 points from now till the end of the season. I can't see it. I think there's been enough of a body of evidence of silly points dropped to show that there may be, you know, a good suggestion that there could be anything between sort of 6 to 10 points dropped from any of those three from now to the end of the season, and someone could win the league on 90 points, for example, which I think is a strong possibility. So I think there will be a desire for Liverpool and City in particular to go foot on the gas, and I think seeing more teams having to go two games a week, a lot more will test that metal and will show what both are made of. In that sense, Chelsea are just a bit of a weird one. I can't work them out at all. I just can't. Part of me is still really anxious, I guess is the wrong word to use, but trepidatious about whether or not they can really just dog it and dog their way to when Lukaku comes back to get into April and May from, you know, being right up there from winning 1-0 every week. And, you know, I wonder whether that is a possibility with them. But and I'm not too worried, I guess, is what I'm saying. I think that there will be a lot more margin for error this season than previous ones.
I think, you know, that makes his point there, Kieran, about the two games a week, and it's tough. And that's where us being in such a good position in the Champions League group really helps. We're through already as top. You know, Klopp said, you know, he wants to win the games. He says it's a lot of money for the club, and you get that. But there's wanting to win the games and needing to, isn't there? And they're very different things in terms of how you manage the squad and, you know, who you give sort of rest to when it looks like they need them, and the intensity of your player. You know, we're in a fantastic position, obviously, an ideal winning position in that Champions League group, and that allows us, just for this period, just to go full throttle on this league.
Yeah, it definitely. Like, I mean, I think if you said there's a difference between must win and wanting to win. If these were must win games, we'd be looking at these upcoming fixtures, and those niggles and injuries would be a lot more daunting. And you know, the fact that we can play some of the fringe players in the Champions League will benefit the rest of the season massively. And you know, I'm sure Jürgen believes that as well. I agree with what he says. I still want to win the games. I think we all still want to win the games, but getting through them games without any more serious injuries is ideal.
Yeah, absolutely. Finish up with Arsenal then. We've got a score prediction from you all. Phil, what do you reckon?
3-1
to Liverpool. Dan?
Ah, fuck it. 5-0.
5-0? Christ, Dan's on the ale already. Kieran?
Dan convinced me before we'll go 2-0 up and they won't catch us, so I'm going to go 2-0.
2-0, and we're seeing the rest of the game out. That sounds good to me. I think Phil's feels most likely to me. I think a 3-1, but we shall see. As long as Liverpool win, we're not too bothered, are we? Listen, loads more across the Anfield Wrap preview in this game. There'll be the team talk show and our audio subscription service tomorrow, which will be right after Jürgen Klopp's press conference, reacting to that. We've got a video preview out tonight that me and Rob Gutman have done, and then tomorrow, the Friday night, which is our sit round the pub and look forward to the game. Across the day on social media, there'll be loads of great stuff happening by the Anfield Wrap in terms of the build-up, and then straight after the game, post-match show, post-match pints, audio and video from L4 straight after the game by people in the ground who are hopefully celebrating a big Liverpool win. What more could you ask for? Make sure you're subscribing to the Anfield Wrap, theanfieldwrap.com/subscribe, to get stuck in and get all the content you need coming up to and straight after that Arsenal game. It's a fantastic time to be a Liverpool fan. It's a fantastic time to subscribe to the Anfield Wrap, we think. But in the meantime, thanks a lot to Phil, to Dan and to Kieran. Hope you enjoyed that. Enjoy your weekend. Hope you enjoyed the inserts as well. Up the Reds. Sports Social Podcast Network.